fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where I am at the Reawaken America Tour with Clay Clark and General Flynn, Ambassador Alan Keyes, and quite a few notable speakers. let's do the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody stand, face the flag. Gentlemen, remove your hats, right hand over the heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The prepper tip of the day is to learn to use a topographical map and compass. This could be a matter of life and death during a crisis. If you don't know how to do that, I suggest that you find out. There's dozens of good books, and that would be a great thing for everybody to learn. Okay. If Tom Berryhill calls in, we will have him on with us, and we will be talking about emergency survival communications and the events today. Hopefully, Tom will call. I arrived at Myrtle Beach last night. This place is jam-packed, where the venue is the Carolina Opry. Very nice facility. I don't know how many people will be here. I expect about 2,000 or so. And it'll be a good event. Be a good event. Lots of red, white, and blue, people with patriotic clothing and hats and so forth. Everybody's walking around looking to try to find the restrooms and find food. Quite a few vendors selling patriotic related material and books and so forth. Regardless, we will take your calls at 512-248-8252. It was a good drive down here, right at 1,000 miles. In fact, exactly 999.5 miles to get here. And uneventful trip. A little rain here and there, but uneventful trip otherwise. It's what most of us look for when we're on a road trip. So Clay Clark does these events all over the country. There's more coming up later this year. Typically, they sell out. Quite a bit in advance, this one sold out, which is why I didn't promote it on my show. Why promote something that sold out? I just got the invitation about 10 days ago to be a media person here and do my live show from the venue, which I'm doing. Right now I'm on the telephone. We're having some issues getting the Wi-Fi connection, but during a break we might be able to get that squared away, and I'll have my headset on. I apologize for all the ambient noise. We got people walking back and forth and talking. So there's quite a bit of ambient noise, but that can't be helped since we're doing a live show from this venue. I saw an interesting car in a parking lot. It said it had one of these vinyl covers on it that are so popular these days for advertising. And it said Vaccine Police. It had some interesting graphics. It's still here. When my show is over, I'm going to get a photograph of it and post it on my website. Pretty interesting automobile. Interesting people, too. Got to meet Clay Clark this morning. And he's a real high-energy guy, very high-energy, very active. He has great people working for him. And putting an event together like this is a lot of work, to say the least. Hundreds of phone calls, hundreds of emails, lots of detail work. But God bless him for doing so. I'm glad that he is. So if you've got a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. We'll be glad to take your question or comment. Interesting show yesterday, talking to Chris. His cousin, Joseph Hoar, H-O-A-R, is in Ukraine, embedded with a Ukrainian military outfit, providing emergency medical care to innocent men, women, and children who have been injured during this conflict, during this war. And we are taking donations at my website at thelibertyman.com. Just scroll down. You'll see Chris wearing his EMT outfit in London, standing next to one of his vehicles when he's got his day job. Very important work he's doing, life-saving work, critical work. And I hope you can find it in your heart to make a donation. I donated 40 pounds yesterday, which is about $59 U.S. And every little bit helps to get the medical supplies and get the equipment that they need to do the work they're doing in Ukraine. All these events keep moving forward, don't they? The economy, the economy has not slowed down people coming to Reawaken America tour, not even a little bit. These events are selling out. People are traveling hundreds of miles, like myself, to be in these events, hear the speakers, and get the information they need to help them with their lives and help them do what they're doing. I don't know what other events I'll be attending for Clay Clark. I'll hopefully find out today about upcoming events that I may be doing a live show from. Hopefully the Wi-Fi will work a little bit better the next location. The management at the building here refuses to give out the Wi-Fi's password, so I'm stuck with one of Clay Clark's people setting up a Wi-Fi hotspot for me, which I've not yet been able to connect to. But that's okay. Clay Clark was out front greeting the people as they walked in the door. He's very personable, very outgoing, very friendly guy. And I'm glad that I was able to meet him, and I'm really glad that I'm here. Let's see. We'll talk about the prepper kit today a little bit. Looks like Barry Hill's not going to make it today for whatever reason. Using a topographical map. Topographical maps are available for the entire United States from the United States Geological Survey. There's also private companies publishing similar maps that you can get. It's a very basic skill. I've taught many map reading classes over the decades to men and women, and I really like doing these classes. We have music playing.
I'm here, John.
Oh, Tom, you're with us. Okay, good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Glad you can make it. Well, Tom.
Sounds like a lot of activity going on there.
Yeah, there's music going, and there's a couple of thousand people. The event hasn't started yet, but people like to get to these things early. Anyway, Tom, our favorite website when it comes to emergency survival communications is the ARRL website. Isn't it? Tom?
Yes, that's correct, John, and that is for ham radio. That is a good starting point. American Radio Relay League.
Right.
They're the spokesman for the amateur radio.
They are. And,
yes.
It's AARRL.org website, and that's one-stop shopping. You get started with ham radio. Ladies and gentlemen, you can find your nearest ham radio club there. You just put in your zip code into the search engine, and you can find the nearest ham radio club. We got the biggest event of the year is coming up soon. That's the field day, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, that's correct. Field day is towards the end of June. I believe it's the last weekend in June. I'll verify that here shortly. And that is where stations are set up, ham radio stations are set up under simulated emergency operating conditions. They will use tents and maybe a pavilion in a local park, but they generate their own power. They'll use generators to power the equipment or batteries, solar panels, things like that. And there could be multiple stations set up all the way down to just a simple single operator station. But usually it's a club, and they have multiple operating positions. It is a contest. So many operators are operating on multiple frequencies simultaneously, and there might be one operator per radio unit, and there will be somebody filling in the logbook. So it's almost like two people operating one radio, and it's quite an event. It's probably the biggest thing that happens on an annual basis, and it's. If you have a shortwave radio and you want to tune in during field day, you will hear what ham radio is all about, and there will be thousands and thousands of stations on the air.
That's right. That's right. Well, ham radio is a fun hobby that 8-year-old boys and girls and grandma and grandpa can all participate in at an equal level, can't they?
Yeah, that's right, John. And it's also a technical training ground. The government set up the Federal Radio Commission in the early days, and then later, I think around early 1934, I believe, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, took over, and they're the ones that issue the licenses and the testing. Nowadays, the tests are supplied by the FCC, but they're administered by volunteer examiners, which are usually a club, a ham radio club. So you can find a nearby club that will help you with the training materials, how to get started, how to set up your station. And they will also administer the test. So when you're ready to take your test, they'll do all that, and you'll find out right then if you passed. And within days, your ham radio call sign will be issued, so you'll be able to get on the air right away.
And right.
It's just, yes. So it's not too hard to get started, and it's easier than ever before. You don't have to learn Morse code like we did in the old days. That requirement's been eliminated, and also the technical requirements have been greatly relaxed. It's easier than ever to get into this hobby if you're interested.
Absolutely. Well, getting started is as quick as possible would be the thing to do. And I mentioned 8-year-old boys and girls. We routinely have 8-year-old boys and girls taking and passing their ham radio test, don't we?
It does happen, John, and you do. You do see a lot of the younger people getting interested in this. Also, there's the digital mode. So a lot of younger people are used to texting and emails and computers. And there's no exception with ham radio, because you can set up your computer and interconnect it with the radio equipment and it's almost the same thing as typing out an email or a text, and they're communicating via computers, but they're not online. They're not on any kind of an internet connection. The connection is your radio equipment out to an antenna through the air to the antenna of the station you're communicating with, and into their radio equipment. So there are no cell towers. There are no other equipment that form the infrastructure. It's just the radio equipment between two stations that are communicating in their antennas. It's an amazing thing to see these very low power stations able to communicate worldwide via computers. So the digital modes are very interesting.
Well, it's completely proprietary with no outside help except electricity, right?
That's right. In fact, there'll be a lot of that activity during field day. Now that you have to have special equipment to tune into that. None of this is encrypted, by the way. The ham operators are not allowed to use encryption, so it can be read by anybody that has the equipment to tune it in. You may hear the signals on your shortwave radio. They sound like warbling tones and things like that. And you will hear those signals, and those are the digital modes. Those are the digital transmissions that are being sent. And if you had the proper equipment, you could tune it in. But there's also a lot of voice communications, and you'll hear Morse code. It's not required anymore, but a lot of the hams still use it. And many times the new ham operators hear those dots and dashes, and they become interested once they are in the air, and they learn the code, and they start operating using Morse code as well. So there's something there for everybody. And plus, ham radio is a great way to learn electronics and begin a career in technology as far as communications and electronics goes. It's a great way to work on the equipment, get on the air and test out equipment that you've built yourself, test out your designs, and learn more about how communications works. You mentioned young people, John. If a youngster got involved in ham radio when they're 8, 9, 10, and 11 years old, even a teenager, by the time they're an adult ready for the working world, they will be very well versed in communications technology, and they would be able to find a very high-paying job in a short period of time.
Right, right. Well, another bonus for the homeschoolers, there's dozens and dozens of kits from entry level for maybe third graders on up to build radios and electronic components, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, that's true. On eBay, you can buy a low-power transceiver kit for just a few dollars. And they come out of China, but everything's there. It's a very small unit, and it is that. Now, a lot of these work on Morse code, but there's also a lot of other kits available that can work with your ham radio equipment. You can build your own watt meters and just a lot of other auxiliary equipment that can be very useful when setting up your station. So it's a great hobby for teaching and learning about communications technology.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, question or comment? We're focusing on ham radio. That number is 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, we kind of touched on this, but ham radio can, for many families, it is a family hobby, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot of families that the parents and the children participate, and they actually are able to use that equipment to keep in touch with each other. If the cell phone systems ever went down, the ham radio equipment is still operating. So
that's right.
It would be,
Tom, break.
Be a great... Yes.
We have a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Moore here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The Reawaken America event. This hour is sponsored by EMP Show. A very nice $50 discount. I'm grandfathered in. My listeners are grandfathered in. Each piece of equipment to protect your car, your spouse's car, and the car that grandchild is off at college a couple hundred miles away. Living with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications. If you have a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, the energy here at this event is just phenomenal, off the charts, phenomenal. Everybody's upbeat, everybody's smiling. It's just a great event, Tom.
That's great. It's, I can hear all the background noise. It sounds like it's well attended.
It's sold out. These events typically sell out about a month before they take place. America is hungry for these kind of events, absolutely hungry. The COVID had these kind of events shut down for a year or more, the make-believe pandemic. But now the make-believe pandemic is over, and people are getting out and doing things again.
Yeah, Yeah, that's right, John. What a great place, Myrtle Beach. It's a great place to attend something like that.
Yep. I haven't been here since 1969. Just as beautiful it was in 1969. anyway, we're talking about emergency spiral communications, ham radio. Now, Tom, we always encourage people to find and join their local ham radio club, don't we, sir?
Well, that is the best way to get started, because you'll find people of like mind, and they've maybe been in it for a few years or a long time, and they can share their experiences with the newcomers and help them to get started. We'll assist you in setting up your station so you don't have to make the same mistake they may have made when they got started. They'll save you a lot of time, money, and spare you a lot of grief getting all of this set up. It can be a little bit nerve-wracking to get on the air the first time. You might be a little nervous. They can help you for all of that, and you'll pick up on it pretty quick, and it'll become second nature in a short period of time. You'll be a full-fledged ham radio operator on the air and communicating.
That's right. One other bonus to the ham radio clubs is the men and women there routinely buy and sell, trade back and forth, high-quality used ham radio equipment at very decent prices, don't they?
Well, that goes on all the time. And there's also a lot of websites that are great for trading and buying and selling, finding parts, equipment, even books, service manuals, operator's manuals, and auxiliary equipment that you might need. There's just all types of things for sale on these websites, and as well as eBay. You have eBay, that's a good spot, a good place to find equipment as well. So it's not too hard to find good used equipment. And the ham radio clubs, though, are a good way, because you'll meet people at their meeting that might have the equipment right there with them. So you'll be able to see it and operate it and see if it's for you. They might be upgrading, and their equipment that might only be a few years old is still perfectly usable, and you can get quite a discount getting started that way.
That's right. Well, we encourage people every week, and I get emails from men and women around the country who, as a consequence of our doing this show, they've studied for the ham license, they got their ham license, they send me photographs of their equipment, their towers and antennas. And we're making a difference here, Tom.
That's good, John. I'm glad to hear that. I know a lot of people have become interested hearing us talk about this, and they have gotten their ham license. So it's really good to get some more stations on the air like that.
It is absolutely very good to do that. So, when all else fails, ham radio comes through. We've seen that in every disaster of the last century, haven't we?
Well, that's really true. The ham operators, see, we're not limited to a particular frequency in one frequency band, like law enforcement, public service, and just all the government stations, local government stations. They're all bound by their license to be on a particular frequency or multiple frequencies, but usually in the VHF or UHF bands, and that's all they can use. And if that equipment isn't working right, they can't just put something else on, try another frequency for communicating. They're just out of business. So the ham operators are always able to get on the air, and they can try whatever frequencies are working the best at that time to get through and get communications established. They're not stuck on one frequency. There's bands of frequencies from the HF, the lower HF, high frequency shortwave bands, all the way up through UHF, VHF, and even microwave systems. So there's multiple frequency bands that can be used, and there's a lot of activity on all of those bands.
Well, typically, if the police department, sheriff's department, fire, paramedics, if they have an issue, it's not with the frequency. And we have a break. We'll be right back.
by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Will Trump save the Republican Party? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. In primary elections held this week, former President Trump endorsed 55 Republican candidates. All 55 of those candidates won their primaries, proving that Trump is still the most influential man in the Republican Party. Trump did some great things as president, but he's still only one man. Don't rely on the endorsement of one man. Trump has endorsed some candidates that I just don't trust. His influence should be concerning. How can we be sure that Trump is still endorsing candidates for the right reasons? No one man can save our republic. We need hundreds of people elected who believe in our Constitution. From Inspector of Elections to President of the United States, vet every candidate yourself. Do the research. Saving our country from our government is worth the effort. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pacem Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, we shall fight in the fields and in the streets, we shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Revised last week to make it easier to navigate and find things. And a couple of days ago, new photographs posted, a photograph of me in a library setting, and another one of myself preparing to make a parachute jump with my tiger stripe uniform on, right there at thelibertyman.com. I am the executive vice president of Liberator Rocket Heater Company. If you want to stay warm and save money, two very important things. Next winter, stay warm and save money in the meantime. Get yourself a Liberator Rocket Heater, and you'll be very glad you did. The only wood-burning appliance we're aware of that burns both wood pellets and regular firewood. Living with Tom Berryhill, we're talking about emergency survival communications, ham radio-related topics. If you have a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, this event goes 2 days. I'll be here tomorrow all day also, and then headed back to beautiful South Central Missouri. Great event. It's 999.5 miles from my driveway to the venue here. How about that?
I guess you just call it 1,000 miles. That's quite a trek.
It's a good trek. Less than half the distance when I visit my daughter's family. But a good chunk of miles anyway. It's a 2-day trip. I've made that much in one day. It's a tough 1-day trip, a really tough 1-day trip. But 2 days makes it pretty civilized. I like to use audiobooks on my trips, my road trips. It really helps the time, and the miles just melt away with the audiobooks.
Yeah, that's a great way to read books, and a good way to read books while you're traveling. I think, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, John, the farthest I've driven in nearly nonstop was Tampa, Florida, back to East Central Missouri. That was not the wisest thing to do, but I did make that trip. I think it was 1,100 miles or something in one long trip. Yeah.
Sorry, a very long trip.
That's a long
haul. At the end of that, you barely know who you are or where you are.
That's true.
Yeah, you're being sleep deprived is not a good thing. But we do what we got to do, don't we, Tom?
That's right. On that trip, I did. I stopped around Nashville to take a nap for a while, about an hour, and then back on the road. But it was as close to nonstop as we could make it, and it's quite a haul. So I don't do it all the time, but I'm good for 400 or 500 miles, and that's about it in one day.
Yeah, that's about it for me. Nice 500-mile run is good for a one-day trip. Anyway, back to ham radio. I always get emails and phone calls, John, how can I meet people of like mind? The way to do that is to get connected with ham radio, isn't it?
Yes, that's true. And if you and of course, John, we're getting into the summertime, and the HamFest startup. And these are the gatherings where the ham operators get together, kind of like a flea market, and just a social gathering at the same time. There'll be a lot of discussions going on about equipment, a lot of used equipment, a lot of really nice equipment for sale, the trading going on, and a lot of component parts. If you're looking for odds and ends and things to put your station together, it's a good way to do that and find those pieces. And all those ham fests are usually listed on the American Radio Relay League website. They'll have a section there that lists the ham fests that are going on. And the largest one, it could be going on right now, Dayton.
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, Ohio. John, I don't know that it's about this time of year, but I don't know if it may have already happened. I used to go years ago, but I'm just not as active on that type of stuff anymore. So a lot of the ham fests have been cut back a little bit with the virus thing, and then also eBay and the online a lot of the online sites with trading and selling and buying and selling going on have cut back on some of the HamFest activity, but I think people are still interested in it, and it's the best way to find equipment that you can actually pick up and look at and see it before you buy it, rather than just taking a chance and having it shipped to you. So HamFest is still a viable way to find this equipment.
It is, absolutely. And it's a really big sale. It's typically there one day. Now, the one in Dayton, is it just one day or is it 2 days?
Well, unless they've changed it. Now, I do know they in the last few years they went to a new location. I did hear about that. And you'd have to just go online and search Dayton HamFest, and you'll find more information on that than you could imagine. And when we went in the old days, we'd get there on a Friday, and there'd be some activity going on Friday, but then it would officially start on Saturday and Sunday. It kind of winds down midday on Sunday. People are leaving, but the heavy activity is late Friday night, and early. I mean, there's people up, John, when the sun is just barely coming up, and they're going around with flashlights looking for equipment. And it's just incredible the type of stuff you'll find. I remember going in the late 1970s, and I remember the one time at Dayton Hamfest, they had a big PA system. There were people there from all over the world, and they would make announcements on there in several different languages. It was quite interesting. So a lot of people there. I think that the attendance was in the tens of thousands. There could have been, I thought somebody said that one year there was around 40,000 people there.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, yeah, these events are well attended, and they're certainly worthwhile, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are, especially if you have things to sell or if you are looking for equipment and accessories to equip your radio station. It is the best way. And there's also a lot of other types of equipment, computer equipment. I've even found machine tools there. I saw a guy selling a lathe one time, a small benchtop lathe. He was selling that at the Dayton Hamfest. Drill presses, just all anything you can think of that has to do with ham radio and building things and parts and how to do books and things like that, do-it-yourself type materials and books, it's all there. So it's really, the Dayton Hamfest is probably the best one. I went a couple of years ago to the one in Orlando, Florida. That's in February, and that was a pretty good ham fest. And it was well attended, but it was nothing like that Dayton ham fest used to be back in the day. This was long before internet, and it was the way to go to find equipment that you're looking for. And you would find anything and everything there.
Absolutely. Well, smaller ham fests are all around the country. And they all have their time and place, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I've gone to some of the local ones. There's some smaller ones. I don't go that often anymore. But I've been doing this for 55 years, John. And I've seen so many changes over the years, the decades, actually. And the Hamfest, first one I went to was 1970. And that was a Peoria Ham Fest. Now, that's a good one, too. Peoria, Illinois, if you're in the middle of the country, that's a great one to go to. And it was a two-day Ham Fest. It was pretty good size. It was a good one. And we'd go to that. I went to that every year for many years. And a lot of the equipment I have actually was purchased at that Ham Fest in Peoria, Illinois.
That's good to know. That's real good to know. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, Tom, getting back to the topic of people of like mind, I would say probably 9 out of 10 people, men and women in ham radio, are interested in preparedness, aren't they?
Yes, that's true. And if you get to the ham clubs, you will meet people there that are like-minded, and they are already involved in preparedness, and I think that's on everybody's minds nowadays. And the ham operators are no different. But you will find a lot of people that are already doing a lot of preparedness activities, and they'll share their ideas and have some discussions going on with the whole group. So it's a good way to meet other people that are they're on the same wavelength as you, no pun intended.
That's true. That's very true. Well, ham radio has a lot for all kinds of different activities for different people, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. And there's especially the young people. If you get the young people involved, take them to the ham club, take them to field day, take them to a ham fest. Let these young kids see how all this works, what's out there. You might spark an interest in them. And, John, you know, they'll get a technical education starting out young like that. They can then go on to college. And I've met, I did business with several universities, Washington University and St. Louis University, Missouri, and in Rolla, and St. Louis University. And their engineering professors, several of them told me when they found out I was a ham operator, they told me that some of their best students were ham operators. They came in with a broad based knowledge on communications and electronics. They had already started young, and they just their studies at the university level were a lot easier for them to comprehend and get on with. And you never know, going to a ham fest, John, you never know where some of these activities will lead you. You know, I just remembered to tell a quick story when I was at the Peoria Ham Fest in Illinois. I met a fellow there. He was selling some kind of little kits or something that he prepared in his garage. He had a card table, a 4-foot by 4-foot card table. He wasn't even inside the exposition building. He was outside in the hot sun. He was just getting started. And that guy was interested in some things I did. I had a laser cutting system, and I had a multi-layer printed circuit board plant at the time. And he was really interested in having some of these pieces cut for the products he was starting to make. And in later years, that company, his little card table display there became a company called Lynx Motion, and that was Jim that owned that and started it. And we did some of his laser cutting, and we had CNC routers. I mean, we had big ones, not these little Chinese things from eBay. I had Exelon automation equipment that we used to make the multi-layer printed circuits. These are very high-speed, expensive machines. The smallest, I had three of them. The smallest one weighed 8,000 pounds, so they're big. And they were beautiful machines. We did his work for him, some of the early stuff before he got his own equipment. And in later years, Jim sold that company for many, many, many millions of dollars. So it started out with a card table at a ham fest. You never know what's going to happen, John, until you go and look this over. That's why I encourage parents, especially the homeschoolers, take the kids to a ham fest and let them learn about this stuff.
Only in America, where that can happen. Only in America.
That's right.
Yep, yep. And it's still happening here. You know, our mutual friend Joe, he literally escaped the Iron Curtain in Czechoslovakia in the mid-'80s. And he sees opportunity where Americans don't see anything at all. He knows opportunity when he sees it. It's a matter of observation and knowledge, isn't it?
You're right, John. And speaking of Joe, I remember the time years ago we were printing your signs when you ran for Congress. We were out of my plant using my silk screening equipment to print those signs. And I remember we were there one evening, and Joe was working with us, and he was there. And, you know, you hear things in your lifetime that you just never forget. And Joe was looking at the silk screening equipment, and he says, "Yeah, Tom," he said, "where I used to live, just having this equipment in your possession would put you in prison." I'll never forget him telling me that.
That's right. Yep, that's the way it was. That's what the powers that be want here, don't they?
Yeah. Joe is a super interesting guy to get to know. If anybody ever met him and he starts talking, you get an education. He's a very interesting guy.
He absolutely is. Well, Tom, ham radio is not optional. The team I put together back in 1999, we required all the adults to be a ham radio operator, and they all became a ham radio operator. We have people out there now thinking about it and procrastinating, don't we?
Yes, we do. And, of course, we'd like to talk about when you get started, don't make the mistake of buying a handheld walkie-talkie or HT type of radio, because that's the first mistake that everybody makes. It's not bad to get some of those if you want to talk short distances, but it can lead to much frustration because the range is limited with these units. Everybody's used to using a cell phone. No matter where you are, you pick it up, it works most of the time. There's very few dead spots, but there's an incredibly large infrastructure that's in place to carry those communications. And with ham radio, it's a lot different. That radio in your hand, that small handheld radio, that might be the whole infrastructure, and it's not like the cell phone. So you need higher power equipment. I think the best thing to start out with is a 50-watt or greater VHF and UHF, a dual-band radio, and set that up. You can get some HTs, portable radios if you want. And by the way, speaking of HamFest, everybody there is walking around with an HT. They're all keeping in touch with their friends. There's a lot of interference. So, I mean, there could be hundreds and, or maybe thousands of those HTs on and operating at these HamFests. It's if you want to see something you'll never forget, take a spectrum analyzer, and that's an instrument that just looks at the radio frequency spectrum and shows what stations are on. We fired one up at the Dayton HamFest once, and you couldn't just not believe the saturation of those frequency bands when all those hams were there with those walkie-talkies and radio equipment.
Hold on,
there were, Tom. There were just signals everywhere.
We have our last break, Tom. We'll be right back.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Tom, we cover a lot of territory, as we typically do on a Friday morning, talking about ham radio. related topics. I'm sure ham radio in Eastern Europe has become quite popular all over again, hasn't it?
Yes, it has, John, and I heard that they had banned ham radio in Ukraine, but a lot of the operators are still on the air, and I've even heard some talk about the ham operators interfering with the Russians' transmissions and so on. So it's, who knows? I'm not there, but it wouldn't surprise me. There's a lot of skill sets that can be put to use in trying times, and I think some of the ham operators are doing that.
Well, ham radio operators can easily interfere with almost any radio communication they choose to, can't they?
They could. It's, you know, and it depends on the situation. Sometimes, like in times of war, you have to do what you have to do, and these people will have the skills to help out, so to speak, as needed. So it's good to get into it if you have even the slightest interest. At a minimum, get a shortwave radio capable of single sideband reception, and that's where you can listen to all the ham operators that are on the high frequency shortwave bands. Then you might want to get a good scanner that's not only capable of the FM operation, but P25 digital. And that's what most of the law enforcement agencies are using. So if even with those two pieces of equipment, you'd be able to hear most of what's going on in your local area and on an international basis. So it'd be quite helpful to be able to listen in difficult times.
Absolutely. Well, the venue's filling up here. They're just playing music before the speakers start. I think the speakers start about in a couple of minutes here. And they go all day long once they start. Probably two dozen speakers, including General Mike Flynn, Ambassador Alan Keyes, and many others. Of course, the big names are what draws people, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, John. I would think there'd be several thousand people there, don't you? Do you know what the attendance is?
Well, it's a pretty large room. I'm guessing around 2,000 seats. I don't know specifically. It's a big room.
Well, that's going to be very interesting. I'll be interested in hearing about it when you get back.
Yeah, we can talk about it now. I'll be picking up energy clearance from you, what, Monday, Tuesday?
Something like that, yep, just about finished. You increased the order size, so I'm working on that right now as we speak, and I'll have them ready in just a few days.
Yep, I need at least 20, and I'm shipping three more to Australia. I'm shipping three every couple of weeks to Australia. They're doing what's called the dark field microscopy, blood observation, and getting really good results with the They test the blood before and observe the blood before and after using the energy cleanse. Well, Tom, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, John. See you when you're back.
Okay. Top of the hour break. We'll be back with open lines.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store. Or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.